The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Oh, I just get up and cry.
Whenever you start a show with "I'm just going to get up and cry," it doesn't bode well, does it?
It's to do with hay fever. That's why I just consistently dribble for my eye, and it's just frustrating.
Hay fever has killed us both this weekend, hasn't it,
babe? Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, should we stop having a chat and sort of...
Probably.
Got to do a show thing, haven't we?
Something like that. Well, happy Friday to you then.
Happy Friday to you, you good-looking woman.
Oh, take it. You know, I've got a tan. I went to the beach at the weekend, and I just, for the first time this year, sunbathed. And God, did it feel good.
You look radiant today, Cece.
Thank you very much. How are you feeling?
Slightly hungover.
Good.
Yes, but I feel good. I feel good.
I wouldn't expect anything other from that from you.
Yes.
If you said, "No, I feel really sober today," I'd ask if you're right. Not that we promote that on this show.
No, we don't promote that. Drink responsibly.
And if you don't know what you're listening to, this is FUBAR Radio. This is The Dating Show, where Pete and I have a giggle every week, talk to some fabulous guests. Pete, what is our subject this week?
This week's show is going to be slightly different because we've got two guests this week.
Yeah.
Because our subject, it's basically Learning Disability Week this week.
Yeah.
So we are going to discuss dating within the learning disability world.
Yeah. I'm really interested in this particular subject because I think we can both, we have friends, family members and whatnot that have probably gone through this at some point in their lives. So we've got two guests.
So Hayley from Love for Life, which is a friendship and dating introduction service. And we have got one of my favourite people ever. If you've ever watched The Undateables, Shane Singer is probably one of the most amazing casts that they've had in all the time that they've done it. He is the poet. He is possibly the most charming man I've ever had the pleasure of watching on TV.
I can't wait to talk to him. I really can't.
I actually use a joke that Shane said whilst he was on the show to one of his dates regularly.
Go on.
Why did the mushroom get invited to the party?
Go on.
Because he's a fun guy.
Oh, that is adorable.
I actually use it all the time.
Are you going to tell him this? Because I think this will make him very happy.
I'm going to tell him. So I can't wait to speak to him later and Hayley. But shall we start off with... the one, the only, the dating sex book.
Yeah, I'm doing a little dance for you because I feel like I'm going to get it right this week. I feel it in my bones.
I don't think you will. This one, yeah, I mean, it's something else.
Oh, okay, the excitement. Come on.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, God, if you start with a laugh, that's not going to go good and well.
What are you if you are a Moses?
Right, let's think about this. So like a Moses basket, is it something to do with that?
Well, you're not the basket necessarily, but the actual person. What are you? A Moses. I don't think you're going to get this
can
one,
babe.
Can
you give me a clue?
Think what Moses did.
Oh, God, now we're talking history. Okay, can you give me another clue that doesn't... what he did?
No, I'm just going to going to tell you. So if you are a Moses, you are a saint. Oh. Who does not mind having sex with a woman who is menstruating. Named Moses because the prophet parted the Red Sea.
Oh, you've gone low this week, haven't you?
Oh, don't look disappointed.
No, I'm not disappointed. I'm never disappointed. I just, you know, you've gone low. I didn't expect that. So hang on. So if you're a Moses, you're someone that has sex with ladies on her, where she's menstruating.
Yeah, you... Yeah, exactly. It means that you don't mind having sex with someone who's got the decorators in.
Okay. It's quite hard to know where to go from here.
Where would you like to go from here,
up,
Cece? The only way is up.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah, just up from here.
So would you like to leave the date and sex?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't think I want to have...
You want to talk more about...
Really, unless you want to talk
menstruating.
Well, listen, I'm a woman. I could talk about shit like that all day long, but it's whether you feel comfortable, Pete. Is it something you'd like to discuss, go over? I can tell you where I'm at in my cycle if you want.
Please.
So I'm in between ovulation and period stage. So right now is my I'm efficient and I'm on the ball.
You're efficient and on the ball.
If you did not recognise that anyway.
I am very pleased. Very pleased for you. And I'm sure all of our listeners are happy to know where you are on your cycle.
Yeah, we should be talked about a bit more, I feel like. In fact, let's have a conversation. No, I'm joking. I won't put you through it.
Thank you. Right. Thank you so much. So, yes, that is a Moses for everyone listening. So, are you a Moses? That's the question I'm going to leave with you.
Oh, God, not with me. Not you personally.
Yeah. I mean, the listeners.
Yeah, okay, let's leave it there.
Yeah, let's leave it there. Shall we move on?
Weird and wonderful dating news, as if that wasn't weird enough what we just said. So, this week, let's go with number one story. We've got a few for you this week. Okay, so a man's left embarrassed after his girlfriend exposes him for lying to his in-laws. Yeah, 100%. A man was horrified after his girlfriend exposed him for lying to her parents about their cooking while meeting them for the very first time. The couple had gone over to the girlfriend's parents' house for dinner. The boyfriend hated the food they prepare for him, but being polite, he didn't want them to know he didn't like it. When the in-laws would be none the wiser, his girlfriend realised that he didn't actually like it and said, "He's so cute when he lies, Mum. He hates it. Look how his nose flares." The mother-in-law kept beating herself up for making something without asking what he liked, while the girlfriend's father told him that he was being rude and ill-mannered for making his dislike for the food known. Was the boyfriend, this is the question, was the boyfriend right to then be upset with his girlfriend for exposing him? How far should you go to impress the in-laws?
Yeah, he's right. He's 100% right for being upset with her, because he was just trying to be a nice guy and make a good impression, I think.
I think it depends, like, on your relationship with your parents. If you know they're a bit uptight, probably don't say anything.
Yeah, she stitched him up a bit there, because that's quite embarrassing. She's mugged him off. She's embarrassed him in front of people.
Yeah. And
it's completely unnecessary.
And I do think on the first meeting, it's like, you know, if you're going for a job interview, not that the parents are interviewing you, kind of they are, but you know, you just do it, you're polite, aren't you? It's respectful. And even if it tastes like shit, you just think, God, this is so fucking good, thank you more. You know, you just be polite because you want to be respectful. And then, you know, if you build a relationship, you can say in a few months,
that was a load of shit you cooked me on the first time. Fuck me. Yeah. You should have seen me trying to get that down my neck. But yeah,
exactly.
And I think we've all been guilty of that. You know, I've met people's parents before, and they've, you know, so Pete, do you drink a lot? Oh, God, no. Very rarely drink. Yeah. Do you go out a lot? No, not really. I'm a bit of a homebody. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that sort of thing.
Love cuddling myself on the sofa. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just kind of like little white lies that I think you don't. There's just no need to embarrass someone like that, I don't think, especially in front of, because he would have been mortified.
Yeah.
Absolutely mortified. And I just think it's completely unnecessary. It's a little bit nasty from her.
I think it's really, especially in those first moments when you're meeting the in-laws. I've had lovely experiences and fucking terrible experiences.
Would you like to share?
Of course I can. You know, I never share. Well, no, I've always thought I was good with parents. So I guess in my head, I was like, oh, I love meeting the parents. Yeah, they'll be fine. But it isn't always the case. If you have someone who's quite overbearing with their son, there's just things that there's elements that play into it. And I was ignored for the first 30 seconds. And then I was interrogated about my job. And it was quite horrendous. But what I think is important there is whether you have a really great experience or a bad experience, you have to be a teammate. You have to stick up for your partner regardless, because it's not the mum or the dad. It's your fucking partner. It's how your partner responds to it. And if they don't know what to do in the moment, the best thing they can do is after say, I'm really sorry about that. Like, I do get what my parents just did. And it's being your teammate.
I completely agree with you. I imagine you get on very well with the dads.
I do, yeah.
And the mums not so much? They're the harder ones. But I'm guessing that's not specific to you. I'm guessing that's a woman thing. Because I'm guessing, you know, some mums are like, you know, is she good enough for my son? You know, all that sort of stuff. I get on really well with mums, not so much dads.
I think it really depends on the parents, because I've had brilliant experiences with all. but bar this one mum. And it honestly put a real, like, it made me quite terrified for meeting like the next boyfriend's parents, because I thought, God, what have I done? But if you are a mummy's boy, a mummy's girl, or whatever it is, and your parents are quite protective, they just want the best for you. And sometimes they show that in a really fucking annoying way.
Your parents, have they met many of your boyfriends?
Yeah, most of them, yeah.
Most of them, okay. And have there been any that they really don't like?
Yeah, but they would never say. So my dad's that.
But would they say it to you?
No, they let me figure it out. Like, but my dad...
afterwards, has your dad gone, he was a fucking wanker?
He would never say that. He'd just say, look, it's your journey, and I get, like, this is where you're at, and this is what you need to do.
Your dad sounds like the loveliest man. What happened to you?
Oh, I love him. He's great. Shut up.
What happened to you?
No, he's brilliant. He's a decent guy. Remember those 80... Oh, I told him this was off air. Forget it. Forget what I just said. It was off air. I said something. Ignore me.
Yeah, see, my mum's like... My mum always takes the side of the girl.
Does she?
My mum's that person. She, like, honestly, my mum will meet a girl and she'll be like, what are you doing with him? Honestly, I think you can do so much better.
Yeah, but secretly, you know, she's got your back.
Yeah, she's joking. But she just makes people feel really comfortable, and she's really chilled, my mum. So my mum's great.
See, what a lovely warm way to meet someone, by not putting you down, but, you know, having a joke, because then it automatically makes the girl feel, ah, she's got my back as well.
And I think that's what's nice, is that's the kind of nice to meet people like that, because it can be quite nerve-wracking for people. I mean, I tend to do that when I meet parents. I tend to be make too many jokes.
Do you?
Yeah, because I think it's funny. So I...
Because you think it's funny. This is the key here.
No, but I always feel like a good way to... what's the word? Knock people's barriers down, for you to enjoy it, like a laugh together about something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's a way to kind of... And I'm quite derogatory about myself and that anyway, so I'll put myself down before other people can.
100%. So,
I think that's a nice way of doing it. Do you know what I mean? Because if you go there and you try and be a little bit too... princessy, that's not who I am.
Yeah.
But they need to know who you are on the first time you meet them. So you need to give something of yourself. So, and it's always a good way to kind of, I can't think of what the word I'm thinking of is. It's D something people.
D chill. D.
No. D something people. I don't know. D arm someone. I don't know. Yeah, like, okay. D arm, something like that. De-arm people is just to a little bit of humour. I think it always goes...
So do you usually get top marks with people's parents?
Mums, I usually get top marks with.
Yeah, I bet. And the dads are like, this fucking guy with his tattoos.
Yeah, dads initially, I think, are like, what the fuck has she brought home here? but then, you know, if I go and have a beer with a dad after an hour or so, I think they realise I'm not that bad.
They soften to your lovely warmth.
Well, I think that, yeah, they just, do you know what I mean? I might have I might not look particularly appealing to date your daughter, or I haven't got the best reputation to date your daughter, but there's some part of me that isn't too bad. And I think people eventually realise that.
I think there's more than some part.
No.
A big part.
It is just a very tiny part. ask my exes. Well, the next dating story, which I don't even know what to say about this one. So, woman sends wife biscuits to apologise for shagging her husband. Yep, Elizabeth, I'm not going to say her last name, who discovered her husband was cheating on her, shared the incredible gift she recently received from the other woman. To mark the one-year anniversary of Elizabeth leaving her husband, the other woman sent her a box of iced biscuits, including one that said, "Sorry for shagging your husband." Some of the other biscuits poked fun at the ex, while one had sisters before vertically challenged misters.
What?
So, effectively, the wife and the other woman... I presume my friends, and to mark the anniversary of them finding out everything that had gone on, she sent a box of biscuits saying, "Sorry for shagging your husband," and a range of other things relating to the husband. Anyway, Elizabeth explained that the other woman had no clue he was married, with the man lying to them both and using a fake name before eventually being caught out. The pair have had the last laugh after striking up an unlikely friendship. Do you think, let's say you were married, or let's say you're the boyfriend, or let's say, you know, you're with someone and you found out he was cheating, do you think you could end up being friends with the other woman?
Well, women do this strange thing where we pretend to befriend.
Stick together.
Yeah. And it's like that, oh, he's such an arsehole. You know, it's like you get on that kind of bandwagon of, but then actually... When I think I've done that when I was younger, I definitely like became friends with the girl. And you think, what the fuck?
Did you send her biscuits?
No, she didn't get biscuits. No, I wasn't that kind.
What sort of mate are you?
I know, but no, I think now, and also it depends where you're at in the relationship. I'd hope to think I was never in a relationship like that again. But you know, it's fucking odd. I think. No,
slightly.
Have you ever befriended a guy that you found out that was you sleeping with the same woman?
No, I don't think it's ever happened. But I have been for a beer with someone who I was sleeping with his girlfriend.
Oh, I think you told me this. I think you've said this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that's awkward.
Was, was really,
and you didn't know, or you did know?
No, I didn't know. He was a really nice guy, actually. Obviously, we don't continually hang out.
So hang on, you were having a chat, beard casually, and he said, "Oh, my girlfriend," blah blah blah, and you. Were like...
No. He'd messaged to ask me whether or not I'd been sleeping with this girl, and I said yeah, and he said, "Well, that's my missus, been with her like quite a while. I think we should go for a beer." And I thought I was on my way to have my head kicked in, but actually, he was just a really nice guy.
So that's it. That's exactly the situation. He befriended you.
But this is a year later. I don't think I would have continued talking to him. And then, you know, a year out, like for his birthday, sent him a thing saying, "Sorry, I dicked your bird." Do you know what I mean?
No.
I think that's a little bit too far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a bit of an unlikely, but yeah, I mean, listen, friendships are made in the strangest of places, aren't they?
I guess you could see it. It's like, you know, the ex-wife. So it's like when you're, you know, partners unfortunately separate and the new missus befriends the ex-wife. There's hopefully no crossover, but that's a really adult way to manage a situation, right? If there's kids involved, like I think...
Exactly. It's a really adult way to fake a friendship.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there's always going to be that bit of you that thinks, oh, really? Do you know what I mean? Of course I'm sorry, but there is.
Do you?
There's always going to be that bit. I don't care how nice and whatever else people are. We've all got that in us. Just think, oh.
You fucked up. Genuinely.
Yeah, fuck off. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Fuck off.
I would hope to think I was that person that would be like,
yeah, but
oh,
I can tell
absolutely
you,
fine.
Yeah, but I can tell you now, Cece, you're not. So,
should we get our first guest on?
I think we should.
So, as Pete clearly mentioned, so our lovely first guest is Hayley from Love for Life, and she is from a dating and friendship introductory service. So, let's get her on and talk to the lovely, lovely Hayley. Hello. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you for singing back. No one ever does that to us.
I'm looking at your dog in the background. I've got a dog just like yours, except for mine's a Frenchie.
But this one's frozen. This one's a statue.
So is mine. I've got a wooden Frenchie, which is very odd because I don't own a dog. Do you own a dog?
Yeah, I've got two dogs. Yeah.
See, it makes it okay. Pete, I've never told you that before. I've got a wooden Frenchie.
Wow.
I know. This is my history. It was a present for my birthday from my ex-boyfriend. He didn't buy me a dog. He bought me a wooden dog.
Is it because that I can't imagine you're the sort of person that anyone would trust with another life?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're not babysitting my dogs at any point, so I can tell you that. Hayley, thank you for coming on. Absolute pleasure.
How are you doing, Hayley?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, we are good. We are, as always, waffling away and having a right giggle of the time. So, Hayley, tell us a little bit about what you do, because we have an idea, but tell us a bit about what your actual job is.
Okay, so I run a project called Love for Life, and it's a friendship and dating project for adults with learning disabilities and autism.
Amazing.
Amazing. So my nephew, funny enough, has got autism. And he is now a teenager. He's just become a teenager. So he's just starting to get interested in women and all that sort of stuff. So what tips have you got for people that are kind of looking to get into dating or making new friends if they have got a learning disability?
Well, first of all, I'm obviously going to say come to Love for Life.
Of course.
But of course, like, if that's something you want to do, then look at different projects like Love for Life around the UK that do similar to what we do, and we can support you to find friends and find a relationship. And, you know, obviously, the internet is a big, scary world, so it can be quite scary and vulnerable out there. So talk to people that might be able to support you, to look at different dating agencies that can find you your perfect partner. And that's what we're here for.
And what would you say the difference between if you have like matchmaking services and different date services, what's the difference between Love for Life and other ones that are kind of available? You know, I can't think of any other matchmaking services. What's eHarmony and all that sort of stuff? A similar sort of thing. What's the kind of main differences? Do you offer a different type of support to people?
Yeah, so obviously, so people with a learning disability may not understand certain processes of dating, you know, and in that situation, it leaves you quite vulnerable. So we are there to not only support people to find love, but we can teach people. We do workshops like, how do I date? Am I ready to date? What is dating? Because some people might not even know what that is. So we do things like that, and then we do sex education classes. So we do lots of different things that can support people to understand the whole thing, the whole complexity mm-hmm. of a relationship, rather than just a dating site. And really, on a screen, you don't really know if that's who you're meeting. So in person, you know, we can go through all of those things, and you know who that person is. They're right in front of you.
So do you have like an initial chat with each, do you call them clients?
Members.
So do you have a chat and then these workshops that you run, which Sam, can I come? They sound brilliant.
Just about to say, I think me and Cece could come, yeah.
Are they in person? Or, I mean, obviously COVID times or whatnot, are they online? Like, how do you access these?
Yeah, so once you become a member, you can. We do them both in person and online, and mainly now because of COVID. So of course that means that our scope for people that we can reach is UK based, really. And you can come along, you can ask questions. It's confidential. We're in a safe space. You know, some of the questions that come up, for example, might just be, how do I know the right time to hold somebody's hand? You know, and just things like that that might be so small, but really quite significant in the next stage of a relationship. So, yeah.
It's funny, actually, because some of the things that you're saying here are things that I think are relevant to people that don't have learning disabilities as well.
You know what I mean,
there's a lot of people that probably don't understand the right times to do things within the dating world anyway. What do you think the differences you might expect from people with and without learning disabilities in dating are?
I don't actually think there's much difference. So even though people do have a learning disability, it's important to remember, of course, that they have the right to have a friendship and they have the right to have relationships. And the difference might just be those stages, the complexities of a relationship. You know, and Love for Life work really hard on going towards all of those barriers that people face and helping people to understand those things that people without a disability might know. So, you know, if you lean in for a kiss and somebody leans back, that doesn't mean, for example, you lean in further. You know,
okay.
Just things like that. And for example, as well, if you go on a date and somebody's not into it, that's okay. You know, it's okay for the first date you may ever go on in your life not to work out. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that's going to be the person that you're going to marry. And that's okay. So that's things that are different, really.
So do you offer, say, so they go on an initial first date, and then do you offer support after that date then, like a check-in, or, you know, how was the date?
Yeah. So
did there become any moments?
Yeah, so we chaperone all of our dates. So what will happen is people will meet in a social environment, so bowling or going out or clubbing or something like that that we host. And then when two people feel like they want to go on a date together, we'll talk about if that person is a good match for them. So somebody that's within 30 minutes of them, so that it's a sustainable relationship, somebody that's got similar disabilities, and somebody that's got similar interests. Mm-hmm. And then we will plan a date, and then we will chaperone. And by chaperoning, I mean, we're not like, hello, we're going to sit at your table. We're like going to sit like the other end of the restaurant. So you know that we're there in case you need us. But by that point, if we're already there, then they probably don't need us, but we're there just in case. Mm-hmm. And then once that date, if it is successful, then they'll go on more dates, chaperoned, up to three. And during all of this process, you know, we're talking about what's good, what might need to improve. So how can I get her to answer these things? Should I bring flowers? All of those kind of things, you know. And then after we get to that point, I mean, we've had people that have got married, we've had people that live together, all of those things. And even though they're married, they still come to Love for Life to socialise with their friends, and we still give them support during all their during marriage tiffs, you know, all of that. So it's really great. Yeah, we're always there for all of our members.
Amazing. And if someone is listening, you know, like I said there, I've got my nephew. He's autistic. He's getting to the age now where he's interested in all that sort of stuff. Have you got any tips for people who may have family members or friends that are looking to get into dating that do have a learning disability? Have you got anything that we can do to help people kind of get into that world and learn to date? Is there anything that I can do?
Yeah, so what you can do, Pete, is you can talk to them, understand what it is that they want, understand what it is that they want from a relationship, because it may just be a companion, but it may be a sexual relationship. So if they want a sexual relationship, you need to understand if they understand what that means. Mm-hmm. So you can do research to give them support in finding the right person. So just listen and don't try and say, oh no, like, because you have a learning disability or autism, you don't need that. No, they do want that. They've expressed that to you, so support them.
Okay. And do you think there's still a stigma around, you know, people dating if they do have learning disabilities? Do you think there's a stigma around it?
I do and I don't. I think it's really important to remember, as I said, that everybody has that right to love. Everybody does. And I think a lot of people probably don't. Some people, I think it might be quite scary for parents or carers or support workers to realise that their child is getting older and that's something that they desire, just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that's probably quite a daunting thing to, you know, that's a huge world you're opening up into. You know, a lot of people think about the vulnerable factor of it. But I think we just have to remember that everybody deserves love. You know?
Oh, completely agree with that.
Oh my God, that's so nice to hear. Hayley, I'm so sorry. We've completely run out of time. I feel like I've got so many more questions for you. But thank you so much.
Thank you, Hayley.
Take care.
Bye.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye. Bye. Oh my God.
Cece, I was just about to say, I think we need to go.
Even the first thing she said about hand is holding someone's hand, that is genuinely something that would go through my head thinking, oh God, he's gonna think I'm needy if I hold his hand now.
But I think that's the thing. I think that there isn't that much of a difference between whether or not you have a learning disability or not. Dating is a scary world regardless.
Thank you.
For people for all sorts of different reasons. So yeah, listen, I can't wait any longer, Cece.
I know you can't. Come on.
Right, so let's introduce our next guest, Shane Singer. Shane shot to fame as one of the stars of Channel 4's Undateables, and he's become renowned for his charm and his love of poetry. He's honestly, I've always wanted to meet Shane as well.
Oh,
genuinely. Let's get him on. Let's do it. Shane.
Shane.
Hello.
Shane.
Hello. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thanks so much for coming on, Shane. We're both really excited that you're here.
Uh-huh.
I was telling Cece before you came on that I actually use a joke that you used on the Undateables years ago all the time when I'm out, which is the mushroom one.
That's right, the fun guy, yeah.
Shane, I use it all the time when I'm out. I'm not even joking. If someone says to me, tell me a joke, it's one of the only jokes I can actually remember. So thank you for that. You've made me funny.
Oh, that's good.
How are you, Shane?
I'm okay, thank you. I've just been doing some gardening indoors and outdoors and also baking, so...
Very nice.
Lovely, lovely.
So, Shane, tell us, what do you find most enjoyable about being in a relationship?
The closeness, being together for a while, making them laugh if they like to be laughed. If not, then, well, how the hell do you find a way to make them laugh, though?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I do facial expressions sometimes. So that helps. Or it's the funny faces that I kind of do.
Do you think humour is a big part of being in a relationship then? You've got to have that kind of humour with each other.
I think it is, but everybody's different. So
yeah.
If they may not like humour, but the humour goes a long way to go and make the relationship crack on and work, then brilliant. But I don't know. But everybody is different. So I think love, laughter, being together, closeness, togetherness, sharing things.
Yeah, that's important.
And making it work.
Nice, like that. More people should listen to things like that. Shane, what are your favourite type of things to do? What's your favourite kind of dates to go on? Because you're still with Gemma, aren't you?
That's right, yeah.
Amazing, love that. I love you and Gemma. So you and Gemma, do you still go on dates? What do you both like doing? What's your favourite type of date?
It's usually, I think, haven't really been on very many dates since because of lockdown.
Yeah, of course.
We've been shopping, Christmas shopping, normal shopping. So we've been to places. We write letters to each other every day.
God, I love that.
Funny. I don't know. But it is fun, though. So we've kept it all going.
In these letters, what do you write? What do you say? Are you, as in, getting your point across? Is it love letters? Like, what do you say in these letters?
Mostly love letters. Then it can be about what she's doing during the day, what's her work like, some health issues sometimes. Then it can be the fun things we've done together, or a date night or something like that. Or be great to see you next week, or can't wait, you know, or I can't believe we watched the whole binge watch of sitcoms, or, you know, good grief. And some you also watch the series of The Undateables back to back sometimes.
And how do you feel like your poetry has helped you find love?
Oh, gosh. Well, it woos. it helps. Yeah.
You need to give me some lessons, Shane.
I've got one today for you, and it is about dating, but the funny side of dating.
All right, we're going to...
We're going to learn so much.
We're going to learn so much. I can't wait to hear that. Before you do that, Shane, when you were single, so before you were with Gemma, what did you find most difficult about dating? Because I know you went on a few dates on the show before you were with Gemma, and some of them didn't work out too well. So what did you find out? What was most difficult for you about actually going on dates? What did you find the hardest?
Everything.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I was always trying to think, I can do this. And I thought, well, will anyone like me, you know? And I've got a lot of love to give, but I just didn't know who would it be. And then I thought, well, because I wasn't always like, should I mix with someone I've known for years at school, and which I have done now. But that really didn't turn me aside, because a lot of women at school, they were quite vile and villainous sometimes. But they were quite bittersweet, you know, and sweet. Sugar, but most of the time, they were quite not nice. And I never went on many dates after. And until I found love, lost love, It took me a long time to grieve and a long time to come back to dating. Mm. And that's why I've always automatically thought self-destruct button, because I don't like to say that. I don't like to think that. But I think because you're only on this planet once, not twice.
I think you just made a really good point there, though, about having that moment to grieve, because what we tend to do as humans is we date, and then to replace that feeling of sadness, loneliness and pain, we date again. And then before you know it, you're just going around and you think, oh, my God, I haven't dealt with that person from however long ago. So what an incredible, I mean, I would say that to anybody. Take the time, you know, take the time to grieve, have that moment. And it's really brave to have that time and look within and deal with yourself. So you doing that is, honestly, I think that's incredible.
Yeah, I completely echo what Cece said there. And also something that you said then, Shane, about not knowing whether people would like you. Was that a confidence issue that you had before?
Always, yeah.
And since being on the show, we're now, you know, everybody knows who you are. You must have people coming up to you in the street. Has that helped your confidence? Because, I mean, as far as the show goes, you are without doubt my favourite person on the show.
Same.
Without doubt. And anyone that I speak to about the show, everyone loves you. So is it nice to get kind of a lot of people come and say that to you? Does it help with your confidence?
I have, but I've also had the negative.
Have you?
I just got on with it.
Yeah.
And I said, that's your opinion, fair enough. Thank you, good night. You know, and
you're such a good man.
Yeah.
But times it got overwhelming when loads of people wanted autographs or the selfies now. I'm not a fan of them now. The time we went up and met up with Daniel, oh my giddy aunt, it was over 1,000 photos, nearly.
Wow.
It was his show, not mine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Give him good luck, you know. But I had a big shout out, and Shane and Gemma from the show are here, you know, and I thought, oh my giddy aunt. And then they all looked back and said, woo! You know, uh-oh. And then after that, I couldn't get out because there was, can I have an autograph, please? Oh, yeah, all right. And it just happened till about midnight.
And wow, you must have been exhausted.
I was. I looked like a zombie the next day.
Okay. Shane, I look like a zombie most days. So I don't sleep very well. Just on that note, what you said there about the negative side of stuff, I think Cece and I can both agree. Obviously, we both do things on TV before, and you do get some lovely people on social media, but I get loads of you know, grief, and Cece, I'm sure you do as well. That's just what people are like, mate, sometimes. And I think what you just said there about just ignoring it is the best thing to do, because some people, it says more about them than it does you if people are being negative like that. So I applaud you for dealing with it in that way.
100%.
Some people are just arseholes, mate.
When things go right or wrong or something like that, you're not really sure what they're going to say. And sometimes I've had like some negative things about my own body. And I just told them to get stuffed, basically.
Yes, Shane!
Yes, he did. Go on.
But I've never liked my body, but it gave me echoes back to thinking those things. But then I thought, that's your opinion. You don't know me. I may not know you. But if I do know you, I would tell you what I think of you. but sometimes what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Listen, you just gotta try and, you know, make yourself happy and do you, mate. You can't affect what other people say or think. Never can. None of us can. And it's not worth worrying about it.
No,
in all honesty.
Not.
Worry about the people that are around you that care about you and all the people that do love you, including Cece and I.
Yes.
So, Shane, what are your hopes for the future then? You and Gemma are still together. Do you want to get married one day? Do you want to get engaged? What are we going to see from you?
I do not know. I would like to be engaged to Gemma or married or whichever way, but I don't know. But a lot of people of her friends and family have always asked, would you marry her? And I thought, and last Christmas, I kind of got very red because one of her friends on a Zoom call asked us, you're a very good couple together, and will you, you know... There's me just hotting up and glowing like a raspberry.
What did you say?
The connection.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so Shane, apparently you've got a poem for us.
Yeah.
We've been excited about this all morning.
It's called Dating. Right, so, wow, dating is like a play. Or could it be? Is it fair? Is it time to care? Is it time to share? Is it a good time to share? No, you can't share another person and another person. That's naughty or naughty. But dating and dates should be absolutely inclusive. Don't you think? It's made for everyone and anyone and everybody. But sadly, dates and dating can be an oddball game. Though it helps to know what you're looking for in a date or a person. If you are dating and have a disability, that's a different thing. But inclusive. See, it's that word again, you see. Like everybody, so many ways of dating. But I think people with disabilities should be included. Nowadays, hope the chemistry. Love and works together. Something very, very special and deep. The chemistry we have. Like you see someone lit the room. Boom, boom. But something special. Otherwise it could be, oh, heck. Before you walk into the room, it could be the butterflies. Flying and toing and throwing and flowing and flying up in the air. And knotting your flaming stomach through and through. Ugh. But, is it something cool and flapping about? Or is a date goes odd or eerie or weird or weary? Or is it that special moment you feel like, there's something there, but not sure? Do you feel it? Special something small. Dates, or if not, try first dates restaurant. Yay! What do you see in Co and Fred? But it could be something magical. It could work. It's marvellous wisdom and magic, filled with humour and grace. But I remember now that dating is not and never a race.
Shane, that was amazing. Loved that.
That was so lovely, so well put. I understood absolutely everything and felt it. I loved the butterflies, I loved everything. Thank you.
It's all right. I only written that Friday.
You only wrote that Friday. See, what a talented man. You've got to show me how to do this. I haven't got any of these talents. Why, Shay? Why? You have been, honestly, one of my favourite guests that we've had on the show, without a shadow of a doubt. I've watched you for years, and it's an absolute honour to meet you, my friend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Yes. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Take care, Shane, and hope to see you soon.
Yeah. Have a lovely weekend as well.
Oh, you too.
Goodbye, mate.
Bye.
Listen, sometimes they say don't meet your heroes because it's disappointing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've honestly wanted to meet, I swear to God, when I say, I watch The Undateables a lot, and I told my mum to start watching The Undateables just purely because of my nephews, and there is kind of, you've never really seen that sort of thing on TV before, I don't think, like before when they started doing it years ago. And actually, you can learn so much from that show.
Incredible.
About how to view people. It's the and meeting Shane is a prime example of that, or speaking to Shane then is a prime example. If we could be more like Shane, if the whole world could be more like Shane, it'd be a better place.
I know. Even when he said about, you know, some negative comments, and he says thank you and move on, you know, that is the way to respond to negativity. Thank you for your comment. I'm not going to take it in. I'm going to block it and move on. He's just got so much knowledge and such a lovely, warm way to deal with life. And what a beautiful man.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, wow.
And like his character, that poem, my God.
I know.
I could do that.
I know. Well, this, it would, yeah, me and you definitely couldn't.
All right.
me and you a couple of donuts. But yeah, listen, loved having Shane on. Absolutely yeah. loved it. And yeah, I'll be looking out for that book at Christmas.
Definitely, definitely will be. Shall we listen to a couple of stories and maybe give them a little bit of advice?
Yes,
it cracks me up when I say that because I think we don't give advice. We just chat shit.
And as always, if we are going to give some advice, we're not professionals.
No.
I just like to tell everyone that every time we do this.
They must think we are, obviously.
Of course, because we, you know, we're like the oracle of dating, me and you.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you do take our advice and it fucks up, it's on you.
Yeah. Yes, like pass it back. Just pass it back.
So, shall we start then with dating story number one, which is Lizzie from London.
Lizzie from London.
So, like maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I was going out with this guy. I don't know, let's call him, George. He was really nice. We're getting along. Everything was fine. We had gone on like 3 or 4 dates, I think, and everything was fine. And then on a Friday, we were making plans to meet on the Saturday and go to the zoo, which, you know, is quite random, but I was super excited to go out with him and all these things. And on Friday night, he ghosts me and just does not respond to me. The day comes, he doesn't say anything, no explanation whatsoever. Two years later, I find out that the reason why he ghosted me was because on that same night, he had slept with my best male friend. So basically, whilst he was dating me, he wasn't sure whether or not he was attracted to men. So he was also on Grindr. And on that Friday, he had matched with my male best friend and they had slept together. And then he felt really bad. And that's why he ghosted me. Turns out he's gay and I never heard from him again. It's just that my best friend told me a couple of years later. But yeah, that's my story.
Well, that's a fucking story, isn't it?
Well, where do we start with this one?
Ooh, wow. I can't work out if he's got morals or not. I can't work out what, you know, I know what you're saying. Could have done it differently, but.
So what we didn't get, I've got so many questions.
I reckon I can answer them for you. Go on.
I wonder if Lizzie slept with him.
Oh, yeah. 3 or 4 dates. You don't know that yet, do you?
We don't know if she slept with him. If she didn't, then I don't think it's as bad. Because, listen, if he is actually gay now, then he must have been struggling at the time coming out or wondering what he was doing and obviously felt bad, and that's why he's not actually sending it. It would be worse if he just ghosted her because he was shagging another bird or because he just, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we don't know. Maybe he added some inner thing that he was dealing with and actually felt bad, in which case I sort of understand it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's never nice to be ghosted, though. And it's, I mean, Lizzie, I mean... Cece, have you ever had an ex-partner who's turned gay?
There's definitely been questions around some exes, but not that I know of.
I have had a girl that I used to sleep with become gay. I was the last man she slept with.
Oh, I love this too much. I just love it.
Doesn't say much for what I did for men. I mean, listen, Lizzie, that's a shame. But hopefully he's found happiness now doing whatever he's doing. And hopefully you found it. I mean, this was a couple of years ago. Hopefully you have now found the love of your life. That must be a shock to the system, though. Imagine that, Cece, going on a date with someone, 3 or 4 dates, having a really good time, and then finding out that he shagged your mate who's a fella. How would you feel?
It's a fucking story. I mean, like you said about ghosting, it's never nice to be ghosted anyway. That for me is just right respect, regardless of what's going on, even if it's whatever the situation is, just don't leave someone hanging, because that's just horrible. Because what it does is it creates self-doubt. and it makes, I've just been ghosted. I was speaking to someone for four days, you know, voice notes, and I've heard nothing for 4 days. And so we've had 4 days of talking, 4 days of nothing. And in my
head, I can't wait to hear about this after.
Oh, wow. And I just think, you know, in my head, I could go to a really dark place and think, have I done something wrong? Was it, what was I saying that was in my last voice note? And that's the error I think people make when they're ghosting, is rather than just being brave, you just think about the effect it's going to have on the other person.
Yeah.
To then add, you know, the layer of them actually not being their sexual preference.
Something you can help, is it?
No, this, you know, and it's not. Yeah. And that is what it is. And if, like you said, if this is a new revelation, if this was something that he just wasn't familiar with, I do get there are, it's hard, isn't it, when you don't know all the layers of the story. It's a fucking good one though, Lizzie.
It is a very good story. The only other thing I'd like to know is if your friend knew you were dating him but still slept with him.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting part, because that makes him a bit of a wanker.
It does, yeah.
So, but we'll leave that with you, Lizzie. Sorry if you hadn't thought of that and I've just put that in there and you're still friends with that person.
Or if we just triggered a couple of things.
Sorry. But yeah, good story.
Okay, we got advice. Emily from Milton Keynes would like our expert advice.
Get your advice hat on. Namaste.
If a guy asks you back to his for a drink after a date, does it always mean he wants to bang you? It's just, I went on a first date recently. It went really well, but I didn't really get the impression that he wanted to sleep with me. But as we were leaving, he invited me back to his for a drink on a Wednesday night. Luckily, I had the excuse that I could say no for work the next day, but am I naive to think that he actually just wanted to make me a gin and tonic, or was he after more?
Pete, this is definitely for you. I've got my response, but this is definitely for you. Pete,
no,
does it mean you want to bang them? As she so elegantly put, Emily?
Right. No.
Expand.
That's not always what it means. I mean, let me put this a different way, right? Sometimes, and I've been on dates where obviously, you know, your first dates, whatever, you've not slept with someone or whatever else, but you've just enjoyed being around them, you've just enjoyed the company or whatever else. And actually, you know, when things close at the end of the night, if there's nowhere else to go on to other bars, but you want to carry on spending time with that person, then yeah, completely. And I've had that happen to me before. However, if that does happen, it does go through my mind, I'm going to bang you.
Right.
But if it doesn't happen, then it's not the end of the world. It's nice to just spend time with someone. If you're just inviting someone back because you literally want to get them through the door and then rip their clothes off. But actually, if you're enjoying spending time with someone, then, you know, there's a chance that may happen. Of course, there's a chance that may happen. But it doesn't specifically mean that if someone invites you back, they just want to fuck you.
So it's 50-50.
I would say, listen, if they invite you back, they probably do want to fuck you, but it doesn't mean that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I got you. Okay,
does that make sense?
Yeah, so they're attracted to you, but it doesn't mean they're going to sleep with you.
Yeah, I've tried to say that in as nice a way as possible.
I think it was nicely put.
But yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, for example, if you went on a first date, CC, and you had a really good time, and the bar that you were in, let's say it was a Sunday night, it was closing at 11 o'clock, the guy lived around the corner, and he said, do you want to come back to mine for a drink? Now, what would you think? You'd think he wants to fuck me. What would... Yes?
No. I would think that probably what you kind of said, in my head, it wouldn't be about you're going to fuck me. It would be about there's a choice here, and I'm choosing to go... Not... I might want
to
fuck you. Yeah, it might be like, I'm in my head, I would have a conversation, and I've like literally left the table before, gone to the toilet and gone, right, there's a 50-50 chance here. Am I okay with this? And that's what I think, as a woman, you or anyone, you have to ask yourself,
yeah,
am I okay with the outcome of this? Am I going to wake up tomorrow morning and regret this? Because if there's one part of regret, just don't go.
But
if you know, no self-control, don't go.
But also, you can just go to someone's house and just have a drink.
I've done exactly that as well. But in my head, you can. This is the thing. I guess in my head, I've asked the question, are you okay if it goes the other way? And if I am, I will go. If I know I'm really, really sexually attracted to this person and for some reason I'm trying to not have sex with them, then I won't go because I know what's going to happen. But you can also tell on a date you get a really good indication
if of who the person is.
Well, that, but also the type of conversations. If you're on a date going, oh my God, I just love doing, having a threesome, it's going to go down that, you know, you're on that. If you're bringing up those types of conversations, it becomes sexual. So then if someone says, do you want to come back to mine? It's pretty obvious. Whereas if you're like, what's your favorite color? And how many brothers and sisters have you got? And then someone invites you back for a drink, yeah, you're probably going to have a drink.
Yeah, if you're saying, what's your favorite color and how many brothers and sisters you've got on a first date, then chances are you're not going to want to go back and have a drink with him because he's a boring bastard.
That might be why I got ghosted. How many brothers and sisters have you got? That's my favorite question.
No, you're not doing those questions, Lucy. Come on,
babe. It's a filler question. Look, if you run out of things to say,
hold on. You just said it there for me, right? If you run out of things to say with someone, it's not the person for you.
I agree with you, Pete. I don't really ask how many brothers and sisters. It takes me about 10 minutes before I get there. Trust me, honestly, a lot of people ask me that, and I'm like, why are you asking? But I guess you have run out of things to say.
You've got nothing to say, and you actually have the charisma of a door frame, evidently.
Yeah.
Not you personally, because you have loads of charisma. You are CC Charisma. That would be your porn name.
Oh, yes, I love a porn name. Thank you.
CC Charisma.
Charisma.
I love that.
Sounds quite gross at the same time, but I like it. So back to Emily giving her advice.
I would say, listen, if you want to spend more time with that person, then go. Like, it doesn't have to lead to sex just because, and again, this is another social fucking thing where people assume that that's what that always means. If you go back to someone's house, that it means you're having sex or you've got to have sex. You don't have to do shit.
No.
Go if you want
to. No, you don't have to, yeah.
Yeah, if you go, and if you want to spend more time with that person, then do so. If you want to get fucked, then go and do whatever you want to do, but you don't have to do things the way you think things are supposed to be. So, yeah, listen, Emily, do you, man. And also, just for anyone else listening, if there is a part of you that isn't particularly sure about a person, don't go to their house. Just on a safe, if it's a first date, on a safety note, If something's not adding up, don't go to their house.
No.
However, if you feel quite comfortable with someone and you want to be around them more, then yeah, do it. Fuck it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Why not?
That's a good point you just made as well.
Anyway, yeah, thank you.
Emily, I hope we answered your question.
In a roundabout way. A
really roundabout way.
Sadly, Cece, that's yeah. It.
I know.
I mean, look at the disgust and disappointment in our faces.
I am good. I get good every time. I get really excited after a guest because I always feel like that's the end. And then I'm like, oh my God, we've still got listener questions. So
And then the come down from listeners' questions happens real quick.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Do you know what started happening to me recently, Cece?
Go on.
I've started missing you during the week.
Have you? You can always message me.
I've started missing you during the week. I don't have enough CC in my life.
You can message me. You can voice note me. You can video call me.
Yes, but then what happens is if I do them things, I instantly regret it and think, no, this is why I only speak to her once a week. No, I joke. I do miss you. I do miss you every week.
I miss you in the week.
I just love you, you know.
Oh, I love you. But you know, we've got planned in the next coming week.
We're having a night out.
We've got a night out. So we can.
And I'll tell you what we're going to do. Me and Cece. We do a live on our night out.
Oh, this is too much. This is such a good idea. Yes.
Should we?
It's a me bad and Cece, idea, but I love it.
We might do a very quick, because it's taken up a lot of drinking time, a very quick 10-15 minutes of me and Cece having a tequila where you can speak directly to us about this show.
Pete, that is a phenomenal idea.
I am fucking
upset that I didn't think of it myself.
Up there for thinking, down there for not much else. So that's what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do. I am happy for everyone listening to listen to this.
Yes.
And also quite scared, but in all the right ways.
What we'll do is we'll put it on our social as well. We'll say tonight at this time, Cece and I will be drunk and answering questions.
And if you miss it, you can hear the follow-up on the podcast of how the regret and the...
Overshare.
And overshare. Of course it's going to be overshares.
Yep, yep. So that's what we're going to do. So keep an eye on that. But as always, you've been listening to FUBAR and The Dating Show. You can find us on Instagram at @thedating_show, which is the home, the hub, the HQ of CC and I. Of us and The Dating Show. So thank you everyone for listening. As always, we appreciate it very, very much. We feel the love.
We feel the love. Thank you. Honestly, I know we say thank you, but we really, you know, when it comes from a place of actual That's where we're coming from.
It comes from a place.
From actual thank. And that is, I'm gonna coin that. Gonna coin that sentence because fuck me, that was good. I feel like my dad would be proud. Well, I will leave it there.
From a place of actual thank. And on that note, from a place of actual goodbye, we're gonna go. Jesus fuck.
We'll do a quick namaste for this one. Fucking
shall,
hell.
Shall we namaste? And this is from a place of actual namaste. So from a place of actual namaste, namaste.
Namaste, guys. Bye.